Good to see everyone back tonight and continuing our one-word study, but a word that I'm sure that we all know very well. I don't think there's anyone in this room who has not been touched by some form of suffering or something that you have gone through, and when you think about the word suffering, it is a very biblical concept. As a matter of fact, the word in its shape or form is found some 90 times in the Bible. 78 of that is found within the New Testament. So God wants us to understand what it means to suffer. Not all suffering in and of itself is bad, though, is it? Sometimes suffering brings about an awareness and helps us better know who we are as God's children. Sometimes it helps us to see God through the dim shadows, and it helps us to see who He is and what He does for us. I think if you were to look at the Psalms, you would see many of the Psalms are written around this concept of what it means to suffer, and how we suffer, and why we suffer. Sometimes we suffer because of the choices of other people. Sometimes we suffer because of our own choices and our own decisions. And sometimes we suffer simply because we bear the name of Christ. But when you think about what God incorporates and what He shows us in the Psalms, and tonight we're going to look at Psalm chapter 13, and we're going to spend our time here tonight for just a few moments. I think you could sum up a lot of the Psalms, especially Psalm 13, in really three words. Problems. If you got problems, you go to the Bible. Pray. We ask God to help us through these difficult times. If you've got problems, you pray to God. And praise. Because if you have problems and you pray to God, get ready to see the benefits of your prayer and how God is going to help you through those difficult times. Though sometimes when we suffer, remember, like I said, sometimes our suffering comes from our own decisions and what we put ourselves through. But when you think about what David is writing here, David's problems alert us to really what we might experience when we suffer. From the very onset of the very first two verses, David is asking a question in relation to his problems. He says, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" Let me ask you this. Have you ever suffered through a difficult time and had a pity party for yourself? Shake your head like this. Because we all have. We've all said, "Why me?" Or, "Why am I going through this?" Or, "Why is this happening to me?" And David is doing exactly that here from the very onset of this psalm. He's playing the pity party. "Lord, how long will you forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" So, Lord, as I'm going through these difficulties, as I'm suffering, where are you really at this moment when I need you based upon the problems that I'm having in my life right now? Selfishness is what David is showing. Because when we suffer, we don't want to suffer. But we're never promised not to suffer. The Bible never tells us when you become a Christian, you're never going to have any problems. Because if that were the case, many people would become Christians for the wrong reason. Not based upon the love of the cross or what was sacrificed, but rather what can they get out of it that they might not have to go through anything bad. But that's not the way life works, right? We know bad things happen, and because we suffer and we go through difficult things, we understand that we can lean upon God, but we have to realize God didn't cause these problems and God isn't making us suffer. But David is asking the question that shows the very humanistic side of who he is. Lord, how long will you forget me? Lord, how long are you going to hide your face from me? Have you ever been in a difficult situation and you ask God for help and you don't think He's listening? Sure, we've all been there. We want instant relief, instant gratification to get us out of the situation that we're in, right? Or maybe you begin to bargain with God. You ever done that? Lord, if you'll just listen to me, I promise I won't ever fill in the blank. Lord, if you'll just help me get through this one particular moment so I don't have to suffer anymore, I promise I'll be more faithful, or whatever else you want to put in that slot. So David is bringing about this idea that God is not listening to him when God has been paying attention to him the entire time. You see, we might think that God doesn't care for us or that God is keeping His distance from us. Look at verse 2. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" God, where are you when I need you? Why do you seem so far away from me? That's really easy for us to do when you think about it from the human side based upon the spiritual aspect of who God is. Because we only see maybe perhaps the temporal comforts of who we are, because we don't see the instant gratification or relief that we're wanting from God, sometimes we play this card. You just don't understand what I'm going through. Really? We think about Jesus. You don't think Jesus wasn't tempted in every part like we were, yet without sin? You see the whole concept of also why we see the human side of Jesus as well as the deity side, as we read in James chapter 1, was that we could not use that excuse. He was in all points tempted as we were, are, yet without sin. Perfect, without blemish, without spot. So we can't play the blame game or you don't understand game, because God doesn't play games. But you see, when we suffer, we have to realize sometimes suffering brings us to humility. And sometimes it better helps us recognize how weak we really are and how much we really need God. Now, that's not to say you're not going to have things happen in your life. We talked about the concept of worrying last week, and I think in a few weeks we're going to talk about guilt and we're going to talk about grief. All of those things sometimes, grief, really many of the words are translated in the New Testament from grief to suffering. Because when you're experiencing any form of grief, you're suffering. But a lot of times, and what we're going to read here, David is bringing most of this on himself. You see, we repeatedly throw a pity party, and we might even feel abused by life sometimes. But in those moments of weakness, in those moments of despair, when you've been brought to your knees, because never does a man stand so tall before God when he's on his knees, when you're going through the problems of life and you're suffering and you think the world is not fair and you think you're never going to get through this, who's the first person you talk to? I hope it's God. Right? Usually it is, because you begin to bargain first and then you begin to ask for relief second. But in those prayers, and this is probably really hard for most people, when we're suffering, do you ever say thank you? Thank you, Lord. Maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Maybe my faith isn't as strong as it needs to be. We talked about this a little bit in Bible class this morning, in reference to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James says to count it all joy when you fall into difficult situations, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Maybe that suffering is going to bring about the patience that I really need in this particular moment. But that your patience may be perfect and complete or entire, wanting nothing. So there's nothing for which I'm going to want if I bring my problems to the Lord. But the reason sometimes we continue to suffer in life is because we think we can handle our own problems. You can't. Because we have to lay bare at the feet of God our problems and put it before His throne of mercy and grace. And say, Lord, you see, I need your help. Look at verse 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes. Let me see these things, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that troubled me rejoice when I am moved. You see, like David, we should look ahead with anticipation of God making things better for us. But again, sometimes we want it now, because that's the society in which we live. But not only should we look ahead, but more importantly, we should look up, because that's where we find our relief. That's where we find our help, our solace, our comfort, right? Our shepherd, the one for which we can rely. But because we're humans, sometimes that's the last place we look. God is not a 911 call, brethren. When we're suffering and going through things, He should be the first call that we make rather than the last. But that's what we do many times until we get in a pickle, so to speak. But David also looked back with conviction, believing that God's care was going to continue for him, because he trusted in what God had always done for him. But also, I think that David's worship amidst his suffering inspires us to sing when we suffer, when you think about the praise that he offers in the last two verses here of Psalm 13. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. When's the last time as you were going through anything bad in life and you suffered that you started singing Amazing Grace? Probably not too many times. Because the last thing we want to do is to sing. You see, generally we only sing when we're really happy, when everything's going our way, right? We're bouncing down the hall and we're singing and we're whistling and everything's okay. But how many times do we sing the songs that we often sing when we think about Jesus or the cross or suffering or anything, or just simply singing songs of praise to thank God for what He's done for us? You see, that's the medal of your faith, really, when you're suffering, is when you can stop and thank God for what you're going through. Because that shows who you are. That shows who you are as a Christian. You see, we've got to make sure when we think about God that we're looking ahead, looking up, and looking back. So suffering, okay, I hear you, Larry. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, I'm not ever going to go through that again. Wrong. Because I can pretty much guarantee you that you're going to suffer again. Brethren, if you live on this earth, going through life, you're going to have problems. Life is not fair. No one ever promised you that it would be. But again, sometimes we're going to suffer heartaches and loss and pain. We're going to go through those things. But God promises to be the deliverer, right? Just as He said Christ would be for us, that He's our shepherd. And His shepherd does lay down His life for His sheep. That's what Jesus did at Calvary. So He provides that respite for us. We find comfort in who He is and what He did for us at the cross. You see, I think sometimes we find ourselves in what the Bible calls many times in a time of need. But we only tend to need God when we want God, when it's convenient for us. But God said that's not the way that it works. Remember the words of David in Psalm 6 and verse 6, I am weary with moaning, every night I flood my bed with tears, I drench my couch with weeping. David, when you think about all that David went through, a lot of his suffering was His own fault. But you know, one of the Psalms I think about when I think about what David went through and the problems that he had is Psalm 23, the Psalm we all know very well, right? The Shepherd's Psalm. And you think about what David says in this moment, after you're looking at Psalm 22, which we understand is that messianic psalm that is referencing the suffering that Christ is going through. When you look at the 23rd Psalm, it's interesting, after you know what David has done and after you know what David has been through, the choice that he makes in relation to who he knows that God is. Because from the very onset of knowing what he struggled with, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and based upon that fact, it's not that he's not wanting for anything, but what he's saying is, I've decided to not want for anything because God is my shepherd. David said, I find comfort in who he is and what he's provided for me. Therefore, it's not that he's not needing anything. He's decided not to want for anything. Now, you think about suffering. You think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you think he was suffering in agony as he's laying prostrate on the ground, as teardrops, as blood is dripping down his face because of the pain and the anguish of what he's about to experience? Do you think he was suffering in that moment? Who made him suffer? I did. Who made him go through that moment? I did. You see, he knew what he was facing, but I'm the reason he was facing it. You see, he suffered because of me and you. Yet he went through it, and in that moment, who was the first person he wanted to talk to? God. Lord, if there's anything you can do to take this pain away. But I understand it's not about me. You see, even in David's time of trial and struggles and tribulation, David always understands as he writes. It's interesting when you think about the progression of his writing. The more he writes, the more he becomes better in realizing what he's writing. I think sometimes when he gets to the bottom, does he think, boy, I was really selfish at the top of that. But then when you look at Psalm 23, when he said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I'm with myself. I've got this, God. As I'm going and suffering through life because of my decisions and the consequences of what I did, I've got this, Lord. That's what it says in verse 4, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because I'm with me. Is that what he says? No. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But you look at verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Brethren, if you think about what you suffer in life based upon what God has already given you, you can't even begin to count what He's blessed you with. You see, we see the immediate many times when we suffer rather than the long-term effects of why we're going through what we're going through. Because in that, we have to realize you're going to grow from it, even though it doesn't feel like it at that time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, here it is, forever. Do you think we can stand before God on the day of judgment if we've had a bad life, if we've suffered in our life? And you think the first thing you're going to do when you get before Him and say, Lord, where were you? Where have you been with all of this pain that I've gone through? Are you going to say, why me? Sometimes we suffer in silence. Many of us have been there. Maybe we feel nobody doesn't understand the pain that I'm going through or that you're going through. But don't suffer in silence when you have the greatest ear listening to you. Because you have God. I think when it comes to pain, and when we say, I've been there, done that, and I'm not going to go through that kind of pain again, think about what Job says in Job 5 and verse 7. Man is born of trouble, because it's inevitable. But I heard a saying, I don't know who's even said this, but I heard a saying several years ago that tears are the safety valves that protect the heart when it builds up too much pressure. Sometimes in our suffering, when we allow the tears to flow and we pour out our hearts to God in our prayers based upon the problems that we're going through in life, in that moment, we can praise God and, yes, say thank you for what I've gone through. Brethren, if all we do is grow better and stronger in this life in our faith, it's been all worth it in the end. All worth it. No matter how bad it gets, no matter what you go through. You know, I've been able to counsel many people and listen to their problems, and I'm blessed to be able to do that. And I've sat there and had pity parties for myself. Why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Why should I have to go through this? And then sometimes I think to myself, shame on me, because Jesus went through a lot more than I'll ever imagine. And yet, the only thing He cried at Calvary was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus suffered for you and I, knowing what He was facing, willingly going to the cross. So, brother, know, understand this. Suffering is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's a tremendous blessing to help us through difficult times. That's not to say it's always fair. It's not, right? Life is not fair. It's not. And nobody ever promised that it would be. So the next time you're suffering, think about those three words. Your problems, because we all have them, in praying and taking those problems to God. And when you pray to Him, instead of complaining, praise Him. Thank Him. Because it only makes us better who we are as Christians. You probably have problems just as I've had problems. And if you have problems tonight that you need to bring before the Lord because they're keeping you from the Lord, we want to help you with that. We want to pray with you to help you get through it, and we want to praise God because He's going to forgive you if you're struggling with it. Only God can do that. But you know what we can do is that we can support you and we can comfort you and we can love you. Because the Bible tells us that we're that kind of family. And we experience it here at Cary. And if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God and you haven't experienced those things which God promises because you've never obeyed the gospel, then I encourage you to do that tonight. You see, maybe you're suffering because you're not willing to let go of your past. Maybe you're suffering as you're going through these things because you don't realize that God is standing in front of you trying to get you to come to Him. But we've got to be willing to repent of our sins. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, that you will all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. If you're willing to do that, to confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus said, you know what I'll do? If you confess me, I'll stand before God in heaven and say, He's one of ours. And if you're willing to do that, then you're willing to put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. So if you're suffering, if you need some relief, if you're going through anything, let us help you as together we stand and sing.
Oh, do not let the word depart.